Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Behind the Human. I'm your host, Mark Champagne. It's my job to unpack the stories and mental fitness practices of people living at the top of their game personally and professionally. Today, we have David Binns on the show, who is someone who leads individuals to build elite strategies in mind, body, money, and love. Which, there's just in that line alone, there's so much to unpack. So I'm excited to have you, David. Welcome to the show. Who are you?
Really powerful question, given my own journey that I'm not yet prepared to fully unpack publicly. But biggest part of my journey is to really gift others what I've discovered throughout my life. And it's a little obscure. By way of answering, but right now, the predominant position of my work is typically leaning more towards a real estate business because, you know, I've got 18 years in that industry, but at the same time, I spent 15 years leading programs for one of the largest personal development companies in the world. So to say that I have a commitment to personal transformation would be an understatement, not only for myself, but also for other people. And I would say the entire premise of what I do now is to interrupt a narrative that most of us adopted, which is you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Sure.
Yes, you actually can. You can be in your version of elite shape, have your six pack, have a thriving marriage. You and I both know marriage is work and there's interruptions to that. A thriving business, you can have it all. And in an industry such as real estate, but this also applies to finance, mortgage brokers, insurance, executives, it's an order to world that we have been living in. And when we look at the universal laws, source consciousness, and we get deep into those studies, we'll never find conditionality in there. I can have the business, but I can't have the body. I can have the business, but not the thriving marriage. And that is really the pursuit of my work, is to support people and being an access to them having it all. Because I spent most of my professional career in an in-order-to capsule that I put myself in.
I took some notes on that. I want to come back to many of those points, but a lot of what you said is what you do. And I want to back you up and almost forget the what and what you're delivering and so forth, but understand who you are, like what are the characteristics? What's the makeup of David today, which of course evolves over time. And probably if I would have asked you this 5 years ago, would have been much different. Maybe some, you know, maybe some baseline characteristics, of course, but the version I know is quite different than I think many would know, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So as of today, though, how would you describe who you are without the work, without the titles?
How I would describe myself and who I am today is a man who is relentlessly in pursuit of my truth, your truth, the truth, not from a place of grinding and hustling, but from a place of being an immovable stand where I get to be an access of light for other people. I would describe myself as somebody who has unwavering authenticity, who has a heart filled with an impenetrable amount of courage to pursue the darkness to further expand my light within me. There is no place I will not go. There is no conversation I will not have. There is no ceremony I will not do. There is nothing that scares me. I am very clear that when we talk about metaphorically the warrior's heart or the heart of the Spartan, that is me. And that was not always me. But I am very clear that that is who I am. And that is what I'm here to do. And that is who I am here to be.
Wow.
And there is so much that I could talk about inside of that. But yeah, that I think that's a decent summation.
How does it feel even for you right now to even voice those words? Because they're really powerful. They're very, you say this from what I hear and feel is not cockiness, but a level of confidence, because you put the work in to get to this place of clarity and intentionality, I guess, with your life and what you do.
You know, there's really two sides to me. There is the intuitive, caring, loving, open-hearted man who can be in flow. But I also have that piece of me that's like a member of SEAL Team 6. And yeah. I don't say that lightly. In fact, I keep a JTF2 patch on the back behind me here. If you're not familiar with what JTF2 is, that is one of the most elite special forces units in the world. And they're from Canada. Very few people even know that they exist. And you're right. Because like I said a few moments ago, there's no place I won't go. There's no place I will not go within myself. There's nothing that I will not talk about that I'm trying to hide. And from there, that is where the, not confidence, it's certainty. And with certainty comes clarity. And when we, you know, one of my mentors said something to me once. He said, the richest man in the room is the one who has nothing to hide. Are there things that I am not yet prepared to discuss publicly? Yes. Will I discuss them at some point when I'm prepared? Yes.
What does prepared mean for you? What is that? What
being
would change?
Just being willing to say something publicly about my story. Because okay. As I've shared with you privately, there are some really radical and profound things that I have had to navigate over the last couple of years. And they were very sensitive. They were very difficult, very, very difficult. And it's just, as I heal through that, I'm just not prepared at the moment.
Yeah.
Because it's often said, you don't share your mess until it's fully cleaned up, because your mess is your message. And I firmly believe that. And I do have an unwavering confidence, because I'm very clear. No one will out personal development me. Now that sounds really weird. Sounds really odd, right?
Yeah.
But what I mean is, there's nowhere I won't go. I will go into uncharted territory that's unfamiliar, particularly to men, and have the conversation, do the ceremony, read the book, do this, do that, look at this, look at that. That's where the confidence and certainty comes from. And it is absolutely, you're right. It's not arrogance and it's not cocky. It's a knowingness.
Yeah.
Which is very distinct.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can tell, like anyone, I remember when I first landed on your landing page for Basecamp and just going through it, and almost in a way, because we had met prior to me doing that in a different setting, right? In a men's social setting, which I would say I saw more of the first half of what you described, like that a little bit more gentle, I could feel that heart and you know, a man that was opening up in front of strangers, essentially, like we all have done in those men's socials. And then when I landed on the page, it's like, this is a different vibe. I like it. But if I'm being completely honest, I was trying to first gauge whether you're full of shit or not, because there's a lot of landing pages where people just say, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to change your life. And then we started talking a little bit more. And I was like, okay, he's very far from full of it. You know, like this is real. This is real stuff. And
that's
there's no,
right.
You know, the other thing, David, just last thing, because I hope you didn't take that at all in any offense. I'm just being completely honest. The other thing, and this is what I meant by saying the bio that I have for you is pretty short, is because on that page, there isn't this laundry list of, I did this, I've done that, I've been here, blah, blah. It's all about what you on the other side can expect to receive and what other, in this case, what other men have received going through, you know, this transformation and the work and so forth. And that's a pretty beautiful thing to experience. Because I know, like, I, having spoken with you, you privately, and you know, you people can look you up on LinkedIn, you can see a bit of your work history. I mean, there's some big accomplishments there that I think many would probably boost to the max. And I think at least you've taken the stance of, this isn't about me. Of course, I've been through my own journey, and here's, you know, why, where the credibility comes from and so forth. But this is about you, and let's get you on track.
That's entirely accurate. And if you do look on the beginning of the video on the Basecamp page, I do, you know, I put on a few things there, right? Like, that is important. Like, whether you're in the on, like, if you're in the online space whatsoever, doesn't even matter. If you're in sales, you got to show credibility.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I don't talk about it very often, because that's not why I do what I do. People know that I was a vice president for Berkshire Hathaway Home Services and brought them into, and was on the management team to bring them into Canada.
Yeah.
It's one of the fattest titles you can have in the real estate industry globally. But I don't need to sit there and tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
Because on the heels of that, yeah, I've got 18 years in the real estate space and I still hold a real estate license. And the other thing I don't talk about often is that I was trained in the personal development space by the individuals who started the personal development movement in the late 60s. You got to wrap your head around that. I'm not talking about Jay Shetty or someone talking about gratitude journaling. The forefathers, and there was women involved, who started the entire industry out of San Francisco back in the late 60s.
How did that come to be? Like, who, so, well, and who, to,
well,
who are those people?
Yeah, I'll tell you. So that came to be by me being a program leader for a company called Landmark.
Yeah.
And at the time, pre-COVID, Landmark was one of the largest personal development companies in the world. Absolutely the largest on the planet by geographic coverage. When it comes to sales, it is not the largest. You know, maybe it's Tony, whatever, but, or like Tony Robbins. But the gentleman who founded Landmark back in the early 70s is the forefather and brainchild behind Landmark. But also, when you look at, he was one of the foundational individuals where the Hoffman process got created, because Bob Hoffman worked with Werner, and then Bob went off to start his own, and so on and so on and so on. There's all these people. And I was trained by a woman who is directly trained by Werner. Werner now is about 87 years old, 88 years old. And I was trained by her. She was my personal coach for 3 years. So when I talk about the personal development space, with all due respect, I'm not talking about gratitude journaling, things like that. I'm talking about people creating a cosmic shift and transformation that lasts a lifetime within themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't take my commitment to this industry lightly, and I don't take the dedication that it was required to be a program leader lightly. And in fact, I keep my name badge, which has David Binn, Self-Expression and Leadership Program Leader, down in my meditation room. I have so much honor for it, because it was one of the hardest things I ever did in my entire life. But at the same time, it was the greatest gift.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't talk about that stuff too often, because there's enough people in the space talking about how great they are, when in fact it has nothing to do with them and everything to do with the access that they are for other people.
Well said. Well said. I feel like we need to set some context. I mean, you provided a bit of light to your backstory and your work experience and so forth. But let's talk about David the person.
What?
You know, 4 or 5 years ago, you were about to show me a photo before we hit record, and I actually put my hand up because I was like, I want the reaction to be authentic and as real as possible. Because, I mean, we've only met somewhat recently in the city that we live in, and so I only know one version of David, and you've shared like some snippets of your past life, and I remember sitting on the chair thinking, I almost don't even believe it, what you're saying, because it seems so far from the person that I know today.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's this picture that I'm about to show you, which was taken on December 1st, 2022. In leading up to this was the longest period of time where I experienced crippling anxiety, depression. It was bad. And like I said earlier, there's just some things I'm not quite prepared to talk about publicly, that this was a direct result of that, which I'm not yet prepared to fully go into, but I have gone into privately with you.
Sure.
But what's important here is that you look at the symmetry of my face and the totality of pain that actually changed my physical appearance.
Wow. Just for those listening, I mean, you'll see a photo of present day David on the socials. It doesn't even, I can barely recognize you.
Yeah. And then look at this photo from 7 days later. You can't really tell because of the lighting, but it's basically who you see today.
Yeah.
Right. And
7 days later.
7 days later. Yeah. Yeah.
What happened in those 7 days?
So I went off and did a program called the Hoffman Process.
Okay.
And
I've heard of the Hoffman process, but I'm not super familiar, to be honest. So I'm sure some of the listeners aren't either. What's the process?
So the process was created by a gentleman by the name of Bob Hoffman, who is no longer with us. Bob was actually in the wedding party, to my understanding. I have never verified it myself, but he was in the wedding party for Werner Erhard when Werner got married. That's how tight this group was back in the late 60s. Bob went off and created a methodology called the negative love syndrome.
Okay.
Deeply rooted in childhood work.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The one of the roles, how do I say it? It's like the Rolls Royce of personal transformation.
Yeah.
I've been around the highest and most successful people in this space. And I actually keep my certificate right here in my office on my wall. That's how much respect I have for it.
Yeah.
And
I take it back. I'm just on the website. I've definitely dove into this in the past, but please keep going.
It was profound. Absolutely profound. And I'm not somebody to shy away from hard work. And I'll tell you, I've never worked so hard in my entire life, because one of the things, and this is actually really important for those listening, you know, everybody wants transformation. Everybody wants success. Everybody wants to build a business or money or whatever it is, grow into a future version of who they are not today. Earlier, you were talking about, wow, you just have like this unwavering confidence. And I even took it further to say certainty, because like I said, you won't out personal development me. There's nowhere I will not travel. And I left every kilojoule on the floor when I was at the Hoffman Process. I worked my ass off. But what I'm getting at here is, wanting is one thing. An unquestionable commitment is another thing. And I coach a lot of people, a lot of executives, but a lot of people in the real estate space. And that is an industry that is addicted to wanting. Very few get addicted to commitment. Because it's an industry that is, it's pervasive inside of the the someday, one day success. And what people don't understand is the trajectory of their business could literally change overnight. And the first thing that's required is responsibility of self. The second thing that's required is commitment. The third thing that's required is leadership. Leadership is being willing to walk into the unknown and produce the desired result. Very few people are actually willing to do that. They think leadership is like raising their voice. It's no. It's unzipping yourself, stripping you of every piece of clothing, walking out into the unknown and building the kingdom that you want, which could be $100,000 a year. It doesn't matter to me. It could be $5 million a year. It does not matter. What matters is that it matters to you.
I have a lot of questions, but I mean, the one that that comes immediately to mind is, and I, you know, I put my, we've had some chats, I put myself in this camp as well. I think there's a lot of people that recognize some of the things that you've mentioned and right. read the books and do their best.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still something, you know, that it's almost like your mind is still wired. Like it hasn't been, you know, you haven't completely switched out the wires to go from to leave the wanting to the committed kind of and make that shift. Like you oscillate in between. I find, okay, I know that I need to do these things or I need to reprogram my mind in a certain way. Like I know some of the paths, but still get hung up and keep flipping back. And I feel like that's one of the biggest struggles and the thing that's, you know, sucks the energy out of a lot of people. And I imagine you must be working, you know, in many of these situations with the people that come through your program and
like that's been a huge part of my own journey, you know. And
so what do we do? Let's go. What's the practical, like, I guess what I'm getting at, if I think of Tony Robbins, a lot of times what he says is, you know, in moments like that, we need to change our physical state, right? Move. Exercise, do something to change, break the state. But I'm curious to hear your perspective on something like that.
That is wildly accurate, and it is incredibly effective to literally get up, go for a run, put on some wicked music, dance in your office, whatever it may be. What you got? The thing is, people got to really get. You got to do whatever it takes for you.
Yeah.
But what's important before that is to understand those ways of being, thinking, and acting that arise individualized within each of us that thwart what we're committed to can be best encapsulated inside of a resistance.
Say more.
Resistance is a very eloquent term to distinguish what is going on internally for an individual. And very much simplifies the human experience that is very much individualized in the moment. Now, we could very much unpack resistance and what actually resistance is, but understanding it simply as resistance provides people, including myself, with an access point to distinguish and create the duality in our brains to then free ourselves up and to get back into action inside of the trajectory that we're committed to. The problem is most people identify themselves as the resistance, as the guilt, as the fear, as the shame. You know, I have a real, this may be a whole other podcast, but around my journey around ADHD and what I have discovered throughout that 30-year process.
Hmm.
And that's a whole, you know, if you want to go there, we can, but that's a whole other conversation. And the easiest and simplest way is to distinguish it as resistance. Because when we're left in the domain of having thoughts, or what I call thoughting, you know, just the hamster wheel, just on turbo. that doesn't give us an access to anything. And the whole idea that we want to look at is what will give me an access to elevating my peace of mind and performance. Performance is one thing. Without peace of mind, it's useless.
Yeah, that's a good distinction because I feel like a lot of people don't talk about that. And it's all performance, performance, performance. But in the background, there's a lot going on.
And that's where I play. That's where I do the triage is behind. Because you and I both know, and everybody listening knows, there's enough information about productivity hacking, habits, atomic habits, and all those things are great and well-intended. But what we know is an axiom, a universal truth, is what is it that's driving the current behavior? Childhood, the media, school system, our environment, what we keep holding on to that is unsaid. What are we not saying? What's that one thing you need to say? Who's that one person you need to forgive? What's that thing you need to let go of? That whole web is impacting your present performance. You know, a lot of people have integrity issues, keeping their word to themselves. It's got nothing to do with keeping your word to yourself. It has everything to do with the inquiry of why we be and act that way. Why is it that we don't honor our promises to ourselves? That's interesting. That's an inquiry. That's a place to meditate. And one of the most useful tools that I have used for many, 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 many years is by one of the forefathers in the spiritual space by the name of David R. Hawkins. He is no longer with us as well. And he has a framework called the Map of Consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
The Map of Consciousness is one of the foundational tools in the mental and physical performance realm. Because if you're encapsulated in the two lowest vibrating frequencies at the bottom of the map of consciousness, being shame and guilt, do you really think you're going to manifest a damn thing? No. As we let go of the guilt, the shame, the envy, whatever that may be, and transcend into the evolution of our highest self and possibility and potentiality, we have no clue what's possible. And the greatest access, from my view, to moving up through the map of consciousness is to look at what patterns and ways of being, thinking, and acting we adopted from two people, mom and dad. And what ways of being, thinking, and acting did we create as a fabricated identity to rebel against our family of origin, being mom and dad? When we go look at our childhood, that will demystify most of people's issues. Most. When I look at the challenges that I've had over the years, I'm very clear where that comes from. It predominantly comes from my mom. Why? Because I spent 90% of my childhood with my mother, because we grew up in Oakville, just outside of Toronto, and my father was in Halifax. When I look at being in the real estate business for 18 years, this is a rhetorical question and a little bit of a cosmic joke, but who in my family was a realtor? My mother. Because it was more interesting to my nervous system to stay tied to my family of origin than it was for me to live out my fullest expression. You know what I really wanted to be when I was a kid? A comedian.
Really? When did you first realize that that dream was stuffed down?
I would say before I got into the real estate industry, for sure.
Okay.
It was probably in between the period of being the president of the student government at Sheridan in Oakville. Well, in Oakville, Mississauga, and Brampton. It was around that time when I got into the world of politics and being at Queen's Park in Ontario and being the president of this and the chairman. I got all caught up in that, you know, looking good in the titles and all that stuff. And look, I made a huge difference with a lot of people. I'm not being hard on myself, but it wasn't authentic.
Yeah.
And now I spend so much time with my wife and my stepson. I don't like the term stepson. I think it's wildly inappropriate, but apparently it's appropriate. Making jokes, laughing. I get them in stitches all the time. So it's something in my more mature years that I've begun to retap into, because I, when I was younger, there was nothing that brought me more joy than seeing somebody else laugh. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, and there's, I mean, I talk about this in my book as well. I mean, there's a chapter on Robin Williams, and yeah, I think it's in that chapter, but just the idea of humor being a tool, right? Because there, you know, there's a perfect example of when your mind's looping and feels like everything's about to explode. I mean, I don't know. For me, I'll throw on Seinfeld or something like that, and you notice within minutes that, okay, I'm not looping anymore like that. I'm laughing. And we know it, you know, we know that there's, from a science perspective, we're firing up all the feel-good emotions and chemicals there, and so forth.
You know, what I think is really important is to draw the connection back to what Tony Robbins says about changing your state. That's a tool that works for you.
Yeah.
Right? It's a really powerful access to something, and who doesn't want to laugh? And yeah, if you don't want to laugh more, I would take a look at why you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Loosen up.
Yeah. But let's stick on the why you don't, and the, because, you know, as I was listening to what you're saying about a lot of these insights that were coming up for you personally, but then others as well, of course, what strikes me as the first big step is we have to spend time in silence with ourselves in some capacity to check in.
Yeah.
Right? Because it seems like and I was in this as well. I remember, I mean, I've shared this before, but just when we were running the app and the success of the reach of that, I was so jaded on, well, that's great that we're reaching all these people and we're getting all these media kind of write-ups and headlines, but completely masking the fact that the business model wasn't working. And, you know, I really do think, had I been slowing down a little bit, checking in with myself a little bit more, all of the data was there, all of the insight was there. And I think we have a lot of the answers to our own questions if we can slow down and blow out some mental clutter.
Yeah, I got a couple things I want to share on this. So when I went and did the Hoffman process back in December 2022, you know, the real cracking open of my consciousness started back in 2013 when I started to work with an intuitive therapist and spiritual coach. And I'm going to tie this into the Hoffman process in a second. And it was all about childhood healing. And that was when I was working 14 hours a day, 6.5 days a week, as a real estate agent making 100 and a quarter, you know, and for someone in their early 30s, like, that's pretty good money. But what people don't realize is the real estate business is very expensive to run. Then I started doing this childhood healing work, and a big part of it was meditation. Then my income doubled again. And doubled again. And that, I'm still very close friends with her. And she would talk about God all the time. I'd hear it all over the place. I'm like, I had no judgment. But I'm like, I don't get it. And then I go off to the Hoffman process. And during a visualization, I actually met God. You know, that picture you see in tattoos, like, he was literally right here in a visualization. And I was just like, oh, okay, I'm in. I have no idea what to do with this, and I'm in. And why I'm sharing that is something I've started to do recently is I've actually stopped using guided meditations, to your point. there's nothing we need outside of ourselves. And if there's one thing I would want anybody who works with me in the future, anybody listening to this podcast, never forget that. We have been indoctrinated with an ideology that is so fractured and fabricated against the truth. There is nothing that we don't have within us. You've got the keys. I got the keys. Maybe you don't know what the key is. Maybe you don't know what lock it's there to unlock. And I've stopped doing guided meditations, and I simply sit there and have conversations with God. Because one of my things as I work through this process, from what we've been through, that again, I'm not yet prepared to speak about publicly, and I don't mean to be obscure, but it's just for my own comfort. I kind of lost trust in what was my voice and what wasn't my voice, and what was God's voice and what wasn't. And that's why I've been doing that again. And it has been nothing short of beautiful.
So what does that look like practically? Is that, I know you do a sit in the morning and the evening, but the, like, how long is that? Just your kind of breathing and just being present to, like, what is it? What, I think many of us know what the guided meditations, look and feel like, but what is this?
Of course. So in our basement, we have an extra room, and that's like a meditation and mindfulness room, which is really great. And I'll just sit on the cushion and I'll just relax. And I'll just tune in to love, like the frequency of love. And I can literally feel my body shifting. And like you, like everybody listening, like everybody in the world, I have things on my heart. I have things where I'm stuck. I've got things where I want to grow and expand, etc. And I'll just sit there and breathe for a minute. And I'll ask, are you there? And then I'll hear it. And I'll just ask questions. It's like, the thing is, it takes such an insane level of trust. And just sitting there for, it could be 15 minutes, it could be 45. And I will sit there and literally have conversations with God. And I don't know what else. Like, it's just, it's so powerful. And it's really helping.
Feel that, and we can see the emotion. Like, that's,
it's like, it's so powerful. And I was not, I grew up in a very wealthy town outside of Toronto, and everybody always used to joke about, like, the Southern Bible thumpers in the US. And I find, this might not be accurate, but I find in Canada that God is not a part of the fabric of this country like it is in the United States.
No, I would agree.
People
with
are
that.
So much more free to talk about it. Up here, it's like,
it's a lot of judgment.
Thank you. Precisely. And I'm just sitting with that, and I'm just unwilling to not share who I am, because I did that for so long. Oh my God. I just avoided sharing who I really am. And this discovery and this relationship, I know it's just getting started, but you can even see through my emotion, like, how important it is to me. Mm-hmm. And I've opened the Bible once. I've never read the Bible. It's not about that for me. And if it is for people listening, awesome. Do you. For me, it's me having conversations with source consciousness. And in my life, it's God.
Well, I'm happy you said that, because I feel like there doesn't have to be rules in any of this. And what I like about your, flow, and the way I feel like I would, I'm going to integrate that into my routine as well, because I feel like I could use some of those conversations. But on my side, and I'm open to all religions and spiritual practices and whatnot, but what feels most true to me would be, I imagine I would start by having a conversation with my higher wisdom self. Which is, I do that in my journal often, if when I'm stuck or if something's going on, I try to tap into what would the old man version of Mark do or say in this situation as the mentor that is 80 plus years old or whatever, you know, and has some serious life experience, which I feel, you know, is can go anywhere, especially, and I'm excited to see, because like I said, I'm open to anything. I'm excited to see just what may surface in those moments of stillness, asking.
And I always say this too with a big smile on my face, just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Just in pure silence. And look, do your own, to build that trust factor, do your own pressure test. Question the message. You'll get a message. Question it. Push back and see what comes back to you.
Yeah.
And the biggest one that's been there for me for a long time is let go. It's been so powerful. And I say that to people all the time, just like, shut up and listen. Get your ass on the cushion, shut up and listen. That's it. No guided meditation, no calm app, no insight timer. And those are all great things. And they have their purpose. But the thing that I'm most interested in is your truth and your purpose, which you already have within you. It does not exist inside of an iPhone.
Yeah.
Hate to break the news.
Exactly. Exactly. And if Common Headspace, if you're listening, don't worry. We still accept your sponsorship dollars. If you,
yeah, of course.
I'm just kidding. Gosh, there's just so many. I feel like we're getting to a point. I mean, there's definitely a part two in the horizon because I think there's a lot we can still cover on many different topics. But yeah. I want to start kind of landing the plane, if you will. I guess for you and your journey right now, you've gone through such a personal transformation and have seen so many of your clients and people that you work with, of course, go through theirs as well. Like, what's on your mind for your world, your life? Like, what are you excited about? What are some of the, I guess maybe, you know, maybe what are some of the messages outside of, you know, trust that you're getting from those conversations in your sit? Like, where are you focused?
Right now, I'm focused on freeing myself from the shackles of shame.
Mm, okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can tell by me saying that, I don't take that lightly. The biggest discovery that I have had out of the situation we navigated that it amplified and mirrored back to me is how much my life was tied and shackled by shame. My personal mission within the privacy of my own heart as we speak and has been going on since the third week of January this year is to free myself from the shackles of shame. And I could not be more proud of the progress that I have made. What I'm excited about, it's really living inside of my potentiality, not the shame's potentiality, my potentiality. My possibility, my voice, my excitement, my creativity in building a movement, mission, and mission to really be in service predominantly of men. You know, I have a real gift of working with women because I was raised by all women. I have three sisters and a mother and a stepmother. I know how to relate to women, and I have this beautiful, eloquent, caring, yet straight way of speaking to women that really lands. And we are best equipped to serve the person that we once were. It makes sense that I gift my learnings, teachings, codes, wisdom to other men. And that is what I'm focused on right now. And I'm in the process right now of retooling our offerings. We have Basecamp. We've got Mind Body Reset coming out. We're going to have the Peak Performance Protocol coming out. Absolutely want to start doing live again. Mm. You know, there's some really cool stuff because if there's one thing I know for certain, that this country needs, that the United States needs, is real men leading from the front with an open heart to provide and protect themselves, their families, their communities. Declaration of Independence, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, the Constitution, all of these things, but from a place of unwavering confidence and certainty where they're not going to move in the face of the hurricane. And that was said to me once, like, who are you going to be in the face of the hurricane? And if we think that the noise, the turbulence, all of these new movements, whatever, all these distractions, whatever it is, if you think that's going to calm down, with all due respect, you got to give your head a little shake and get the cobwebs off, because it's not. And yeah. Everybody's looking at you. Everyone's looking at me. And that's the game that I'm here to play, is to have men win in all domains of life. Because you can have your cake and eat it too. And don't tell me you can't. There's lots of men who have. And we can all be one of them.
Love it. So well said. There's just so much in there. I mean, I think of when you're saying that, you're one aspect of kind of that closing remark. I read a lot of Stoic philosophy. Typically leans against my coffee machine, and it's the, you know, as the first cup is brewing, I'm reading a few passages in some capacity, and I'm always amazed that, or I'll often reflect reading these passages, whether it's Marcus Aurelius's Meditations or stuff from Ryan Holiday and so forth, Robert Greene. If you update, especially in Meditations with Marcus Aurelius, if you were to correct the English to its modern day English, it's almost exactly the same emotions, the same worries, the same things happening, you know, where he's talking about going into battle and he could really use a vacation, you know. And to your point around, like, there's always something that's going to be happening, always some big thing. It's always been like that. It's just, you know, when you're in it, and of course, when you're surrounded by our lovely media and all of that, I mean, it feels like, wow, this is the end of the world. We've never experienced something like this ever before, and you might as well just curl up in a ball and give up, kind of thing. Which is, you know, a sad place that I think we've reached as society. But I'm hopeful, because there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work out there, and I think we don't want to be in that place, you know. And there's, if we can just all kind of band together and work together and do our best and silence the mind and go in internal, build that internal empire, then I really do feel like we'll be living in a much more beautiful, just a beautiful space. First of all, within ourselves, but then also externally.
Well, yeah, because as below, as above, right? And you can sit in one of two camps. You can sit in the resignation, the cynicism, the anger of what is happening optically in the world, or we could spend the work internally to mirror a new above. You know, there's a lot of people in this world right now who are filled with joy, filled with purpose, filled with possibility, because they're doing that work. On the flip side, like I said, like, if you think this noise is going to turn down, you know, Trump and Biden, Israel, Palestine, Russia, Ukraine, China, United States, China, Taiwan. You think of all this stuff is going to calm down? No. It's only going to get louder. So the louder that gets, the deeper we need to go to maintain our center of love, joy, play, connectedness, community within.
Yeah.
And that all can be what it is.
Yeah.
The dangerous part is when you get way too sucked into it.
Yeah, it's very easy for that. I mean, it's not just easy. It's, you know, there are forces at play that are designed to suck us in. So it's
exactly.
It's, yeah. So I mean, it's we at the end of the day. I mean, this is what I often try to talk about on the mental fitness side is that I think we just need to be honest with the outside reality of the world that we live in, and knowing, you know, that it is a pretty shaky place and there's a lot going on. We don't need to look at that from a place of judgment, but just these are the facts. So if those are the facts, then we need to build the tools and the routines and the practices that protect us from those outside forces and build ourselves up to a place where, you know, we can wake up feeling great more days than not. I don't think it has to be any more complicated than that.
I completely agree.
David, where can the lovely listeners find more about your work and follow along as different programs come available and so forth? Because this was a really beautiful conversation. I appreciate you really opening up and, you know, challenging our minds to ask some good questions and think a little differently and put ourselves first.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And thanks for having me on. And the best place to catch me would be on Instagram. And it's my first name dot last name. So that's david.bins. You can always toss me an email too if you want to connect at david@davidbins.com.